Imagine spending less on your groceries. How about spending less on shopping in general? And what if it didn't take too much work on your part? That sounds interesting, doesn't it? This week, the Money Mastermind Show tackles coupons and the easy ways you can use them to save money. Don't worry about becoming a coupon fanatic, though. We enlisted the help of Carrie Hasha of Pocket Your Money to help discuss ways to sensibly coupon and look at your shopping habits so it doesn't take over your life. For show notes, head over to moneymastermindshow.com/episode12. And remember, you can get this podcast and all its episodes delivered to you free by subscribing in iTunes. And hey, if you love the episode, and we know you will, please leave us a review. Now here's the show.
Welcome to the Money Mastermind Show. Let's talk money.
Welcome to the Money Mastermind Show. I'm Glenn Craig of Free From Broke, and I'm your moderator tonight. Here are the minds that make up the Money Mastermind Show. We have Miranda Marquette of Planting Money Seeds, Peter Anderson of Bible Money Matters, Kyle Prevost, Young and Thrifty CA, and Tom Drake of Canadian Finance Blog. Tom's not here with us tonight. He could not make it. We also have a special guest. We have Carrie Hasha of Pocket Your Dollars. Welcome to our show, Carrie.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks for coming. Today's topic, is couponing worth it? How can you make it worth your while? Before we get into that, I want to let those know who are watching that we love questions here. So if you are watching, check out the Hangouts page and use the Q&A app and ask us relevant questions about couponing. And if we can, we'll try to get them onto the show. So couponing. Since the Great Recession, people have been looking for more and more ways to make their dollars go further. Gone are the days when coupons are just in the realm of the Sunday newspaper inserts. You can find coupons all over the place, especially with the proliferation of online places to find them. There's coupon codes, online coupons, email promotions, coupon apps, deal sites. You can get coupons all over the place. Coupons help you save, but they also take some time, organization, and some research in order to actually make the most out of it. And then you have that niche group of couponers, the extreme couponers, who take it all to another level. So that leads us to today's topic. Is couponing worth it? And if so, how can we make it worth our while? Carrie, we'll start with you, since you are our guest here and our resident expert here. At Pocket Your Dollars, you help readers find all sorts of great deals, as well as maintain a grocery coupon database. So I'm going to guess that you're pretty much okay with coupon use.
Yeah. And so I think you just touched on a couple of different things. I mean, there's sort of grocery coupons, and then there's online coupons for online shopping. And I see them really as different things, because I think grocery coupons people think about as being more high maintenance, you know, and online coupons are just sort of become a standard, right? I mean, if you're going to buy anything, you're going to Google retailer's name, coupon code, and see if you can get a better deal. I mean, I just think that's sort of commonplace. But yes, you know, just a little background. In June 2006, my husband and I had over $50,000 in debt. We made a decision that we would get out of debt and that we would stay out of debt for the rest of our lives. So remember, 2006 was the boom before the bust. So while everybody else was booming, here we were like carpooling and brown bag lunching it and figuring out how to use coupons to bring down the cost of our groceries. And then, of course, as we shop more online, you know, in the days ahead, we learned about, you know, using coupons online. And so by November 2008, we'd paid off that debt. And that was the beginning of the recession. So I started to get questions. How can I do that? And how are you saving so much money? And so I started my blog really in March 2009 to help people and share some of what we had learned on our journey. And like you said, I mean, during the Great Recession, it was just so popular, particularly grocery coupons. And I will say that they're not nearly as popular now as they were even 18 months ago. I mean, we're really seeing the decline, and I can tell by the numbers of coupons people are printing and the engagement on some of my grocery coupon related blog posts. So I'm all for it, but here's what I really think is kind of the macro thing that you need to think about, or if in that realm of, are coupons worth it? You know, there's a continuum between time and money, and you have more of one or the other. And so everybody at different points in time is going to fall somewhere on that scale, right? You've got more time than you have money. And so, yes, then you really need to be spending that time figuring out how to save every extra penny, because you're translating your time to money. But you move down that scale, and at some point you start to have more money than you have time. And then you begin to make trade-off choices. Is this really worth my time? because I have enough money already that I don't want to spend the time to do it. And I think that that's a framework that we need to use when we think about grocery coupons in particular. What do you guys think?
Yeah, well, I think when you talk about couponing in general, I mean, if you look at it, your return on your money, even if you're just being a casual clipper of coupons, you're still going to be able to save a ton of money. Coupons.org found that an hour of smart couponing is estimated to yield you about $100 in savings. And that's just a little bit of $100 an hour, basically.
Right. And who would want a part-time job at $100 an hour? I'll take it. And when you think about blogs like mine, and there's lots of them, what we do where grocery coupons are concerned is a lot of the hard work. And so I've got about 10 different stores that and every single week I'm going through and saying, these are the items that are on sale. And then here are all of the available coupons that align with that sale. So you don't have to do that work. And so you talked about coupons from the Sunday paper and that you can print. But what is really the trend right now are app-based grocery coupons. And so think, you know, there's apps like Ibotta and Checkout 51, and there's more and more all the time. But they're sort of like mail-in rebate meets smartphone app. And so instead of getting a discount at the register, you buy a product, whether it's produce or milk or a specific brand of an item, you buy it. And then afterwards, you take a picture with your phone of the receipt and of the barcode of the item. And then you get a credit deposited into that app's account. And then you can cash out when you've got either $5, $20, whatever the threshold is for that app. So it's really a clipless way to save. And that whole I forgot my coupons at home. Well, it doesn't matter because you don't actually need to use that app until after you've purchased something. And I love it because I can save at places like Sam's Club, which don't take manufacturers' coupons for any items that they sell, but they participate in some of these apps. So I can buy products at Sam's Club and then go home and add additional savings into that app.
So with these apps, is there any one app that kind of is the Lord of the Rings of it all, like the one app that rules them all? Or do you have to keep track of different apps based on the types of items that you're shopping for? How do you organize that with the apps now?
Right. I would say right now, it's all kind of like the Wild West of grocery coupon apps. And you know what we've seen in other spaces, take daily deal sites 5 years ago, right? There were just tons of them. And then lots of them faded. And now you've got Groupon, Living Social, and a couple of other major players. We'll see that fallout eventually, but right now it's too early to tell. So here's what I've done, a couple of things. One, I maintain a grocery coupon database, and we are doing everything we can to get all of the coupons from all of these different apps added there. So you can look up a product, either a brand name, or you could look up something like Taco and see if there's any discounts for taco shells, taco sauce, taco seasoning, in any location. So we're trying to centralize that and keep up with all those apps. But if you don't want to have all of that on your phone, pick a couple, do what you can do. I'm a very moderate person in general. And I think anything, couponing is no exception. If you start to get into it and it's, you know, a hobby and a way you want to save some money, great. But the second you begin to feel guilty and I can't buy this because I don't have a coupon and I'm not using enough apps, and it's starting to like detract from happiness in your life. Okay, you've gone too far. And so for you, just do what you can do and call it good and be happy with what you're doing.
You said something interesting in the beginning regarding grocery coupons and how they're not as popular these days.
Yeah.
Now, do you think is that a case or a sign of the economy that maybe we're doing a little bit better so people aren't pinching those pennies? Or is Absolutely. It just that the effort isn't worth it with all the different types of other coupons that are out there?
It is absolutely a sign of the economy. Absolutely. I mean, I've watched it, you know, I've watched it happen. I've read reports about it, and it really, coupon use peaked. I mean, for our generation during the Great Recession. And I think it was kind of a big question, like how are people going to be impacted once the economy begins to rebound? You know, and I often thought, I think about my grandmother, right? And she freezes a pack of gum because she doesn't want it to spoil. And because she's like, I grew up in the Great Depression, you know, I've got to preserve this gum. And she keeps her vegetable oil in the refrigerator to preserve it. So she's impacted. I mean, the woman's 85 and she's still impacted by something she went through. And so I wondered, how marked is this generation going to be by the Great Recession and how much of this will stick? you know, until our grandkids are making fun of us, and how much of it is just sort of a passing fancy. And I really think, sad to say, a lot of what people were sort of touting, like, I've really changed my ways and I'm doing differently now and I'm more frugal than I ever was. I don't think so. I think that people have given up a lot of those habits as they are doing better financially. Have you guys seen that?
So, Carrie, well, I have seen that in some regards. So here's my question. How much of that is the economy improving? How much of that is like sort of the declining utility of people's time? You know, like Peter said, your first hour, you save 100, but perhaps as you get more extreme, the returns are less. But how much of this is the stigma of couponing? Because for me, I know I'm willing to put a lot of effort into earning 20 extra dollars, way more effort than it would take to save 100 couponing. But it's like that stigma of you're that person at the front of the cash register and you're like fumbling with coupons and people are like, oh my God. And anyway, how much of it is one of those or the other?
You know, that's a good question, right? I have no scientific research on that. You know, I've not seen a report like stigma versus whatever, but I certainly know that the show Extreme Couponing, when that sort of made its debut, right. Cable, I will say I've never seen it. I'm too cheap to have cable. I never went out of my way to watch it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And they just did a marathon because some of my coupon blogging friends and I've been having this conversation, like the keywords people are using that we can see people are using to come to our site was like, has there been an extreme couponing marathon lately? And there has been. And so people are back to searching, like, how do I do that myself? Mm-hmm. So I think, why am I saying that? I'm saying that in answer to your question about stigma. I think that there wasn't necessarily a big stigma about coupons as much until that show hit. And then it was like, oh, you're one of those extreme people. And someone like me really purposed intentionally to distance myself from that because I'm not that. I don't ever want to be that. I've never purported to be that. But yet people felt like because I blog about coupons, I probably am that. The people who cast the show thought I must be because they contacted me, right? And I was like, I am too moderate to be on your show. Thank you, though.
You have basements full of like ketchup bottles and Q-tips? Or
no, it's really funny that you say that. And I always joke, I've taught hundreds of couponing classes over the years. And frankly, I don't teach very many of those anymore because there's not interest. But I did a lot at corporate locations like General Mills and Target. And that kind of thing is financial wellness. Their HR department would bring me in. And I would always say, I'll kind of walk through with you, as people are like, how do I save money on groceries? Is really, I think, the question people are answering, but their mind jumps to coupons. And so coupons is a strategy, but really your objective is saving money on groceries. So I think that there's a couple of steps and coupons are sort of down the line. The first, if you want to save money on groceries, has nothing to do with coupons, has to do with knowing what the price is of the stuff you're already buying. So pick 10 to 15 items that you are regularly buying, you know, toilet paper and paper towels, cat litter, yogurt, cereal, whatever it is. And if you have a specialty diet, you're vegan or gluten-free, whatever, pick the brands, whatever it is that you're buying, and just notice. At the store I'm buying them at, jot it down. Just bring a small notebook and say, okay, this is what I'm paying. The next week when you go to the grocery store, pick a different store that's within, you know, reasonable distance of your house, and see how much they charge for those same items. And I think you'll be amazed once you do that at 3 or 4 different stores to realize, wow, just on the everyday prices, this store is cheaper than this other store for the things I buy. No store is cheaper for all of us because it really is brand specific and personality specific, depending on what you get. But if you can get smart about how much your stuff costs and just know this should be my go-to store, then, hey, that's a great first step. The next step builds on it, which is then paying attention a little bit to the sale prices. Because grocery items have, how can I say, like every week in the newspaper, there's a sales flyer, right? And different products go on sale. Those sales are seasonal. So we're in the summer right now, and there are certain products like ketchup and mustard and barbecue sauce and baked beans, Band-Aids even, bug spray, that go on sale now that won't be on sale in February in Minnesota where I live. And so, you know what, if you know this is a good price, whatever that is, and you begin to pay attention, wow, when something goes on sale, it could be half of what your regular price is, just sale price alone. And you begin to time your shopping based on those sales. But you know what, you don't need to buy 100 bottles of ketchup because guess what? Ketchup will go on sale again. And mm-hmm. so you don't need to get enough to now to the end of the world. What you need is enough now to the next sale. And usually that's 6 or 8 weeks, maybe 13 weeks on the long end. Once you begin to pay attention to those sales. So I have, you know, like 2 bottles of mayonnaise in my pantry because I know I'm not going to see it on sale through the fall. Fine. And that way I can make plenty of tuna salad and we're all happy at my house. But I definitely don't need 6 or 8 because I know it'll go on sale again in a reasonable time. And then you can add coupons. Once you know a price, once you're paying attention to sales, now use a coupon layered on top of a sale price. I did just sort of an anecdotal thing for several weeks where I looked at the coupons that came out in the paper. And then I looked at the sale price of these similar products. And I came to see that, you know what, you can save as much or more just paying attention to the sale prices on items and buying something when it's on sale, no coupon needed, than if you were to pay the full price at a grocery store and use a coupon. Do you follow what I'm saying? So it's really smarter to just pay attention to the sales and it's less time involved. Of course, like the big money is to do the sale price and then use a coupon right then. That's when you're going to pay a fraction of the price. There's my strategy in a nutshell.
I'm so exhausted listening to all of this. It exhausts me.
Really?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, it sounds a lot, though. Like
I don't even do the shopping in my house. It just sounds exhausting.
So what's the carrot? What's the carrot on the end of the stick, Carrie? Like, how much are you saving? Because Miranda's exhausted. So
I'm so exhausted. Her
exhaustion.
Just taking the notebook around. The idea of...
I'm just shopping in different stores. I was gonna say, then you know what? Then you need to just figure out, Miranda, if it's like, okay, I don't want to go to a different store. I'll get back to the carrot and the stick thing. I don't want to do that because that is too much work for me. Then I would say, if you have a store that you shop at, then you need to know what are the prices that I'm paying and how often does this stuff go on sale at the one store I am willing to shop at, and pay attention to it. I just think with 10 or 15 minutes a week of paying attention, even at a low level, you can just begin to learn, oh, wow, what I normally pay $3.29 for a box of cereal, gosh, I see it go on sale once a month for $2.50 a box. I'm going to buy the 3 boxes my kids are going to eat during that 1 week, and I'm just going to save a few bucks. And if you do that, I mean, you think about how many products you're putting in your cart in a week. 30, 50, whatever it is, depending on how big your family is, if you can save 25 to 50% per item that you're putting into your cart, it really can add up. I will say one other thing. I've actually, as member of the continuum, time and money, as I've moved to have less time and more money, I've modified my strategy and I've found a store, like I shop a lot at Aldi. And so I've gone, you know what? Their everyday prices are good enough. And they often compete with what a sale price would be at a grocery store. So I'm willing to buy the bulk of what I need there and just sort of cherry pick if I see a really good sale price, particularly on meat, because meat's so expensive and I'm not a vegetarian. We eat a lot of it. That I'm willing to go and buy meat when I can get it on sale because I can save several dollars per pound.
Yeah, and I can see, you know, that too. When things are on sale, my husband does buy extra stuff and we freeze it. We have a big, well, not anymore. We used to have a big freezer out in the garage and we'd fill it up and, you know, when things were on sale and then we could go back and use it. But I think you made a good point that, you know, you kind of change your strategy depending on where you're at and, you know, what your preferences are. So I really like that point.
Right. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, as we keep moving more and more into a digital age, for those who don't like to shop at all, and I know there are plenty of them, there's lots of online retailers that sell pantry staples. And of course, there's an increasing number that'll sell even the perishable items online. But Amazon and there's a handful of other sites, particularly if you're into organic products, can be very, very competitive or on bulkier items like toilet paper and Kleenex. I mean, but you might have to buy in bulk. I bought a box and it was like 36 boxes of Kleenex, but I got a box, which was a great price, cheaper than what I get at the dollar store. And so I just shoved them on my closet and all over. And there you go. But I didn't have to leave my house and they shipped it to my door and I still got a great deal.
Yeah, that's how we do the same thing. Our toilet paper and we have one closet in the house, and that's for like toilet paper and tissues and paper towels and paper plates, because we do the same thing. And then we also get our pasta and our pasta sauce online.
Right. Do you get them from Amazon or somewhere else?
Oh, we get them from somewhere else. We get them from Rouse. That's our other problem, is a lot of the things we actually buy, you can't get a coupon for.
And, you know, I hear that a lot, and that may be true on the grocery items. You know, if somebody has a particular brand that they like or something, but in the apps I was talking about, they have an increasing number of just general, you know, save $1 on produce, save $2 on meat, save $1 on milk, kinds of general discounts. But there's always discounts on more of the pantry items, like toilet paper or paper towels. And if somebody is somewhat flexible on some of their other personal care items, or even just toothbrushes, aluminum foil, that kind of stuff, those are places where you could focus to save, knowing I'm going to pay full price for these brands I like, and I'm going to try and kind of recoup it over on this other side of some of the stuff I don't care about.
Now, so I like, what's the name of the app you're talking about? Because we do buy a lot of produce. And so the idea, you're not going to get like a coupon for produce. You might be able to get a sale flyer that says, you know, bananas on sale for, you know, whatever cents a pound, or, you know, 3 pounds of apples for whatever. But you're not going to get like a manufacturer's type coupon for produce. So could you tell us what the name of this app is that you're talking about?
Yeah, there's a couple. So Berry Cart is one that's actually focused on organic and gluten-free and some of the specialty diets. So you'll find maybe some produce things, but you may also find some brands that you feel like, wow, I didn't know that brand had coupons. Checkout 51 is another app that, again, I didn't look today. Their offers are always changing, but I have seen coupons, and well, they're not coupons, they're post-purchase like rebates for produce and milk and those kinds of things. So checkout 51, and then Ibotta, Ibotta. So those are three apps. And then for organic and gluten-free types of products, there's a website called Common Kindness, and they have printable coupons available for a variety of brands that folks sometimes think, oh, wow, I didn't know there were coupons. And I also, like at Whole Foods, where I shop there sometimes, I shop their sales, and then I align them with coupons I got from the Chinook book, Chinook. It's kind of like an entertainment type book, but it has a whole section of manufacturers' coupons for, you know, organic beauty and hair care products like shampoo and lotions and that kind of thing, as well as all kinds of grocery products. And there's some of them are very high value. They had Mary's Gone Crackers, which I think are really good, but they buy one, get one free coupon, and they're normally $5 a box. So I'll wait for them to go on sale at Whole Foods for like $3 a box, and then use buy one, get one free, and I'll get two, you know, I'll get them for like $1.50 a box, which is a huge yes in my world.
That actually sounds a lot less exhausting to have that app that kind of gives you a rebate, you know, after you follow what you normally do. I like that. That's cool.
Yeah.
I've got another question.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. In regards to coupons, the old inserts and those types of coupons, yeah. I've heard from some people that a lot of those coupons have gotten more restrictive over the years, that it's tougher to use them or to double them up or those types of things. And different stores have different policies as far as what you can do, as far as if you can double up coupons or use them on a sale and that type of thing. What can you tell me about that, I guess?
That you're absolutely right. That's sort of an after effect of the Extreme Couponing television show. After the first few episodes of that hit, we began to see fine print restrictions on an increasing number of the coupons that come in the Sunday paper. And so I have tracked it over the years. I keep a database of all of the coupons that come in the Minneapolis Sunday paper, which is where I live. And, you know, there used to be no real notable restrictions. And now well over half of the coupons have real tight restrictions. And by tight restrictions, some of or kind of the most common ones include limiting the number of coupons you can use in a single purchase. And by that, I don't mean, like, okay, I want to buy a tube of Colgate. It's not like you could ever use multiple Colgate coupons to buy a single tube of toothpaste. They're not money. They're coupons, right? I mean, you can use one per product. But extreme couponing, what they did was buy 100 tubes of Colgate and use 100 Colgate coupons. And so the major players said, we don't like that. We will limit you to use two of our coupons or four of our coupons in a single purchase. And so that way they've kind of nipped in the bud. The brands even, they didn't want to be shown in that kind of light. And so they nipped that in the bud by putting those restrictions on there. And then also an increasing number said, do not double. And what that would mean is doubling a coupon is when you get twice the face value. So if a coupon's worth $1 and a store doubles it, it would be worth $2. But an increasing number of coupons said they will not allow that doubling. And then at the same time, many, many grocery store chains that used to allow shoppers to double the face value of their coupons changed their policies as well and said, nope, no more. And all of that really was a direct result of all of that extreme stuff that folks did in that show and really glamorized. And none of the players, retailers or brands, wanted to be part of that or seen in that light.
Interesting how that show kind of ruined things for a lot of people there then.
It did. It did. If they would have just not done it.
So
you really need to be looking at the coupons themselves to see if there are restrictions, as well as checking with the store you're shopping at to see what their store restrictions are on coupons.
Yeah.
Well,
so if we were going to talk about, okay, remember I said, you know, the first thing is know what your prices are, then know what a sale price is. And then now you sort of qualify, in my opinion, to even start using coupons. So once you get to that point, if I were to say, how do you start using coupons? Then I would say you need to figure out which store you're going to shop at. And I wouldn't start, I'm going to go to six different stores a week, because there's just a lot of variation between stores. So I would say, this is the one store I'm going to start at. Make sure you understand their coupon policy, both from what's printed on their website, but also know that store managers have latitude to be more generous in most cases than what's printed. They can't be more restrictive, but time and again, I have had individual store policies be much more generous than what the corporate policy says. And so you may want to call the store even and have a conversation with the manager. If you're intending to be an avid couponer at a particular Walmart or a particular grocery store, a particular Target, and ask, okay, do you accept expired coupons? You know, what other things should I know about couponing? These are the things I see in your policy. Is there any deviation from that in your individual store? And get it from the horse's mouth, so to speak, of that store manager. And then when you become that person in the checkout line that Kyle was talking about, where they're like, the cashier says, well, we don't do that and we don't accept that. You say, well, I called, you know, Susie Q, the store manager, and she told me that this is how it works. And they quickly say, oh, well, if Susie Q said, you know, then we're good, and they can kind of back off.
And I think a smart store manager should be able to jump in and keep it from being a big long line also, you know, because yes, they want to keep people happy. And I guess an important thing also is, as a customer, be nice. A lot of people, I think, forget about that.
Yeah.
You know, it helps to be nice to people and just ask kind questions and just speak to people. And then you get right, a little latitude sometimes.
Yes. And, you know, and then the other thing I would say is, if you're going to use a lot of coupons, be prepared. I think personally, it's very rude to not be ready when you get to the cash register. If you're flipping, now is the moment when you're going to start flipping through your coupons and figure out if you have coupons that match these products. I'm going to be mad at you. And I'm not even anti-couponing, you know? So I think we should talk a little bit about, how do you organize coupons? Especially for people like me, I'm not organized enough to keep track of like 1,000 separate small pieces of paper that all expire in 2 weeks. Like, how is that humanly possible? And then to try to do that in the grocery line, don't do it. Have everything you need ready before you get there, so you can just hand over, these are the coupons, I know I've got all the right products. There really shouldn't be a major issue.
So what would be the best way to organize something like that? I mean, I used to do a small accordion file that we kept in the car. So whatever coupons we had in the house, we brought it to the car, kind of sorted it out. And then while we were shopping, we would pull out each coupon for our product if we found it. And then at the end, we were just able to kind of slap them all down and say, here you go. Is that kind kind of one of the better ways to go. I know some, I think you even mentioned having a binder or a book of coupons is like, what's the best way for people?
I do not own a binder or a book. Let me tell you what I do and why I do it. So, and I'll say, I think lots of people think of coupons like, let me have that accordion file. Let me clip what I need and file them by category. And I sort of joke and say, I think people had to do that before there was the internet and there were like databases that kept track of all of this stuff on our behalf. So you don't have to do that anymore. There are websites, and like on my website, we have a coupon database. So you can just look up your items in there. So the key isn't clipping each one as it comes in the Sunday paper. It then is you get that whole coupon insert thing in the Sunday paper, keep it in its entirety, and then you can just write the date of the Sunday that you got it right on the front, you know, like 8/12, okay, or whatever. And then you just file it. I put, you know, newest in the back, okay? And then I use, like on my website, if I'm going to go shopping at Target, say, I have a Target shopping list on my website, and if it says, you know, item A, B, or C is on sale, and then I say, oh, there's a coupon in the August 12th Smart Source coupon insert for that item, then I can just sort of, you know, like the Dewey Decimal System, right? You know, you could use those numbers to locate any book in the library. I know the date. I can just go find that whole coupon insert in my file folder before I'm in the store, make my list at home, and I just clip out the coupons that I need for that shopping trip, and I leave everything else at home. And then like once a quarter, I'll just go through and like purge it and take out all the old ones and then give them to my kids. They love to cut stuff. So then they play with them and then they all go on the recycling.
It's good to hear that things have gotten a little bit easier with online apps and such, because even though I did have that accordion file, it was kind of a pain to keep up with it. And, you know, especially we did it because we had just had a kid and we were buying lots of baby food and stuff like that, that you could save on. But when you've got a kid in a stroller or in a shopping cart and they're not happy to be there, and now you're flipping through different brands, it takes a lot out of you.
Right. And so when I walk into the store, I have my shopping list and then I have whatever coupons I'm intending to use. People sometimes say to me, but what if you see something else, you know, that's on sale and you need a coupon? And I say, yeah, that's called an impulse purchase, right? If it wasn't on my list, I don't need it. This wasn't about, for me, when I started using coupons, it wasn't like to try to game the store or play some system. It was because I was trying to spend less money. I didn't want to save more money. I wanted to spend less. And sometimes people spend more money on a quest to save more money. That wasn't me. And so I was like, look, if it's not on the list, we're not buying it. And if it's some amazing, super stellar deal, then it's probably worth it for me to go home and get my coupons and come back. And if it isn't, then so be it. It'll be on sale again another time. And I just let it go.
I like how you use things where you're really looking to the things that you buy first. And then the coupons are really just the icing on the cake and just helps bring things down. Because, I mean, let's not forget that the purpose of coupons is so that the company gets you to buy their brand and to build brand loyalty. Right. And then you feel like you always have to buy it, whether or not there's a coupon.
Right. And you know, what's really interesting is a brand, I mean, I'm picking on Colgate, and but it could be any of the major consumer packaged good brands. They really are targeting moms. I mean, I am their key audience, not because they want me, but because they want access to my kids. Because if kids grow up eating Cheerios or using Colgate or using a particular shampoo, then they're going to use it and they're going to pass it on to their kids. And so if you begin to look at coupons exactly as that, these are not a community service. These are a marketing tactic on behalf of brands to get you to buy stuff you wouldn't normally buy. And that's why, to kind of outsmart that, you need to start first by knowing what a good price is. What do I normally buy? Is this something I even want or will use? And then pay attention. I take products, say like the Swiffer, or like Glade has a lot of refillable things, or even razors that come with refillable heads. You'll notice that you can often get the starter kit for free or pennies by combining sales and coupons. And that's not on accident, because their business model is, right, if you buy this product and we hook you on it, you're going to buy the refills forever. Oh, and by the way, we never provide coupons or discounts for the refills. We just give away the base model for free. So you need to begin to think about that, because sometimes an initial savings on something might actually end up costing you more money in the long run than some other alternative. So like, I don't buy any of those refillable products because I don't want to pay the money to refill stuff. So I really just stop and go, what really is the best financial solution, say for razors or something? You know, the Dollar Shave Club might be a better deal than buying these disposable razors at Target.
You maybe think of something here too. A lot of places, like you said, Sam's Club doesn't have coupons. Have you done any comparisons or seen any comparisons between these wholesale places like a Costco's, BJ's, Sam's versus doing coupons maybe at a Target or your local grocery store?
Yes. So a couple of things. If you were going to be a serious couponer who shops sale prices and then layers coupons on top, you can beat Warehouse Club prices almost every single time. I know that from my own experience, walking in there and saying to my husband would be like, look, bread. I'm like, no, bread on sale with coupon. Like, no. But if you're going to be just kind of a casual, what I call an everyday shopper, where you just want to shop on whatever day of the week you want, walk in a store, buy what you need and leave, then you're going to find that a Warehouse Club, their prices are definitely going to beat on an everyday basis a grocery store. They're going to be very close to what you'd find at a Target or a Walmart. But like, I shop a lot at Aldi, and Aldi carries a lot of store brands, so generic stuff. But I'm willing to buy generic string cheese, say, instead of the name brand at Sam's Club. And in almost every case, Aldi's everyday prices beat Sam's Club, particularly where produce is concerned. I've heard lots of people rave about Warehouse Clubs and, oh, I can buy all this. And I just am like, stop. Like in my town, there's an Aldi three blocks away. And I think, look, strawberries are 99 cents a pound and you're paying, you know, $1.99 a pound there. And I buy a few things at Sam's Club, particularly I buy meat there because their everyday prices are better than a grocery store. Although sale prices at a grocery store are still better yet. But I buy tons of stuff at Aldi, and then I just have a few items that I buy at Sam's Club. Again, I did that price comparison and I just looked at, what does my family eat? Where can I get it for the best price?
I just go right to the farmer. As a rural guy, they don't have coupons, but you can buy a side of beef from a farmer for way cheaper than I've ever seen it in a grocery store. I can guarantee you that.
My parents, when I was growing up, used to go in with the neighbors and buy a full beef from, you know, the local rancher, you know, not too far away. And it was always much cheaper. But one of the things that one of my pet peeves about the Warehouse store is I have a very small family. So if we get that big thing of strawberries, half of it's going to go bad.
Yes.
And I think that's terrible. So I think part of it too is, you know, are you going to use that stuff? If we go to a Warehouse store, we go in and we get things like over-the-counter drugs.
Yeah. You know,
because we'll use those and they last a little bit longer.
Right.
And so we'll get things like that, that we can, you know, or cheese that we can freeze, you know, shredded cheese and we can freeze it. But getting something like produce at the Warehouse store just makes me cringe, because as a large family, I think you could do it. Growing up, my parents did. There were five kids in our family and we ate everything, but there are only three of us in my family now, and the Warehouse store, it's wasted. So even if we were to save money by getting, you know, if we save per pound by getting this huge amount of stuff, it would go bad. And so we'd still be wasting that money. We're actually better off paying a little bit more per unit in some cases.
And I found, like with deli meat, I can sometimes get it. Well, I can actually buy it cheaper at Aldi than I can at the Warehouse Clubs. But I've also found that when you buy in bulk, sometimes if we haven't tried it, that's why they have so many sample people at Sam's Club and Costco. It's not like the goodness of their heart. It's because you're buying this stuff in bulk. I don't want to buy 5 pounds of meat that my family has not tasted, because I have had more than one occasion where I was like, I'm certain that this product is fine. And we get it home and my whole family's like, this is gross, you know? And then we're stuck sort of figuring out, my brother, my mom, do you guys want like 20 yogurt cups that we just don't like? And, you know, it's that same thing, that just because the price is lower, and it isn't always lower, but even if it is, buying in bulk really can have some disadvantages.
Yeah, I think you need to, when you're looking over the things that you're buying, you have to have a plan as to what you're going to buy where. I know we do that. Yes. You know, we keep a running list of Costco items. You know, we know, okay, we're running low on paper towels, toilet paper, and maybe a few other items. It's going to be a Costco run, and we're just going to get specific items there, hopefully, right. Because sometimes I do wander off. But that's usually the plan. Yeah. You know, other things we'll go to Trader Joe's for. You know, we would do our general shopping there. And like today, we similar to what Kyle was talking about, we went to a farmer's market and just picked up bags of produce for just ridiculous amounts of, you know, cheap money, basically. Right. You know, we were able to do so much with that. But you have to have your different places for what you're going to do.
When you said that, just a little side note, I think people may not know, but Trader Joe's and Aldi are owned by the same parent company. And so you will see there's an increasing number of things at Aldi that are organic and gluten-free and those sorts of things. So if you have one anywhere near you, they don't pay me. I just think it is like the best thing since sliced bread because their prices generally beat the warehouse club, like shredded cheese. I can get it cheaper at Aldi than I can get it at the warehouse club. And I don't have to buy it in as big of a bulk and I don't have to repackage it myself. And, you know, all of that, I can just buy it in a smaller quantity and it's an everyday price. So I don't have to worry about the sale. And then just a side note, you were talking about farmers markets. One of the things, sort of a tip, I guess, if somebody was thinking, because I have not generally found farmers markets to be cheap. I could get produce for less at Aldi, although I do sometimes shop at the farmers market. But I really will ask for seconds. So some of the slightly bruised produce, because I'm typically cooking it in some way, shape, or form anyway, so I can cut out a bruise on a zucchini or something else. And you can get that at amazing, incredible prices. And then if you're willing to buy some things in bulk. I mean, last year we bought 40 pounds of seconds of apples, but they were a variety of apple that was very popular. And so you didn't see them at the grocery store for under $2.49 a pound anywhere ever. And we got them for under $1 a pound. And then we're able to do all kinds of things and freeze them in applesauce, you know, and all that. We invested the time to do it. Again, the time and money continuum. It was worth it to us, but you don't always just have to pay full price at the farmer's market. Sometimes they have things they want to get rid of. And if you ask, they may sell you the bruised tomatoes. And if you're going to make sauce anyway, who cares, right? And just buy those at, you know, a fraction of what the regular ones would cost.
So just as we start to wind down, I really like what you're talking about, how you really got to pick the items that you want. And then you go from there and just kind of drill it down if the coupon's there, if you're going to buy it anyway. Don't let the sale or the coupon drive what you're going to buy. Because then you end up spending more or you end up stuck in a culture where you have to buy something over and over again. Can we tell our audience the best places that we can generally find coupons or deals or things of that sort? What type of sites, where can we find the coupons?
Yeah. So of course I'm going to talk about my own website because I think it's a great place to go, but there are other sites as well. And the overarching thing I want listeners to hear is that you don't have to do all this work yourself. I mean, there are websites like mine at pocketyourdollars.com that are dedicated to doing the labor, to curating all of the online deals, filtering out all the spam where groceries are concerned, doing the effort to say, this is on sale at a good sale price. So we'll find all of the corresponding coupons for you. So if you walk into a Target store ever, I just think you should come to my website and browse the Target list, take 30 seconds and go, zing. Is there anything that we routinely use that's on sale this week? And that has coupons that are aligned with it, I can get for a fraction of what I'd normally pay. I'm headed there anyway. I might as well pick up this item while I'm going. And so I would encourage folks to do that. And then, you know, if they've got other stores, their location, if they were to Google their city name and then coupon blog, they would find most of us have near us a blog that will cover the local grocery stores to us. So they're doing that effort again of lining up the sales with the coupons so you don't have to. You just get to be the beneficiary of somebody else's hard work.
We're going to start to wind down here, and we're going to go around, this is what we do every week, with a final word on coupons. And we'll just have, you know, just some words on coupons in general from everybody to sum everything up. Let's start with Peter. What's your final word on coupons?
All right. My final word on coupons is this. Don't be scared about using coupons. I'm one of those people that for the longest time, I didn't use coupons just because I thought, you know, you're not going to be able to save that much money for the time you're spending doing it. Up until a couple of years ago where we finally just decided we're going to try to just do the bare minimum. Just use the coupons that we get in the mail, in the insert, in the paper, and just clip the ones for the things that we actually buy and use those coupons. So I did a quick study at our house. Or four different shopping trips, we use just the bare minimum coupons from the paper and stuff, clip those and use those coupons just buying the things we need. We spent about $950 on those shopping trips. And just by using the bare minimum coupons, we saved over $200 on those shopping trips. So it was over almost 25% savings just by doing the bare minimum. So if people are scared about using coupons, I would just encourage them just to give it a try, just to take 20 or 30 minutes before they go shopping, find coupons for the stuff that they're buying anyway, and just use them because it's not that hard. It's not as hard as you think it's going to be. Clip those coupons, use them, and you're going to save a lot of money.
And Kyle, let's hear your final word on couponing.
One cool insight I had as a sort of rookie couponer, I was doing the sort of Canadian rite of passage this week, coming down to the nearest large American center and doing my best to boost the U.S. economy. And I realized that companies, they really want this young demographic, and they're throwing out these mobile coupons. Maybe not as much in the grocery space, Carrie, I'm not sure. But I realized, like, there's a bunch of apps that do this. I picked the first one on the list, which was Coupon Sherpa. And you just download this thing, and you're like, give me some cool stuff from the stores around me. And as you're walking around, like, the mall or on the strip with, you know, Kohl's, Target, whatever, they'll just, Coupon Sherpa will pull up these things. You don't need to print anything off. You just need, it'll pop up on there and they'll just ask you for the code at the till, or they'll just scan your cell phone. And pretty much every major store we went to had a deal, and this is in the middle of the week. So yeah, it's a cool thing. I'm definitely going to keep doing it now that I know it's sort of possible.
And Miranda, what's your final word?
Every time I've tried coupons, it's been a disaster because we never, as I was talking about with Carrie, we never find coupons for the things that we actually buy. I don't know whether it's because we're terrible people and we're not willing to buy the things that there are coupons for or what, but it's a problem. So every time we've tried, it's always been a disaster. But I do think I want to try some of these apps that she mentioned, that you go and kind of get the rebate after the fact by taking the picture, because I think that might be something that would work for us. So it's something that I'll stick a pin in, because as of this moment, I don't like couponing. So I'll stick a pin in that, and we'll try something, you know, new, see how it works.
So I just want to add something here, and I don't know if it happens to everybody else, but it seems that no matter what I do, if we do a purchase somewhere, it'll be the next day, a week later, then we get the coupon. So I'll go to Target, do a big shopping, day or two later, then I'll get the coupon book, you know, or whatever it is, I'll get it just after I made all the purchases. Drives me nuts, and I don't know if that's, Kyle was nodding his head yes, so it must be common, but that drives me crazy. But as far as the final word, I mean, I think a lot of what's been said already, know what you're shopping for and have an idea of what the prices are. You know after a while what general prices are going to be, but you can even use a simple app like Evernote or Google Docs if you just want to keep a running list of what an average price is. And, you know, you just go for the general good. There's no one store that rules them all, just like there's no one app that does everything. So if you need to find one place, find the most generally good prices for you and go there. And I really like what Carrie was saying as far as finding the items you're shopping for. Don't be driven by the sale prices or the coupons. Figure out what it is that you need and then use the coupons after that. I think also with online, if you aren't looking online for a better price first to see what you can find, then you're really missing out on a lot of great deals, because there are good deals on bigger items, and you really need to take advantage of that. Carrie, let's close up with your final word on couponing. What can you give us for our audience?
Yeah, I think that one other benefit, and this is how I would want to end, is I have found, not just for me, but for tons of people that I know personally, and then for the folks who read my blog, I've heard this time and again. If you do some simple things like what Peter was saying, and you just take some very modest steps to saving money on your groceries, because you're buying groceries so frequently, what you'll begin to see is a mindset shift. So when you're buying other different things, you begin to think about how to save money on those too, because you have this awareness that a little bit of effort can actually return something of value. And so I think you also don't underestimate the return on your investment, and don't limit it just to grocery coupons, because you begin to think, we're going to the amusement park, we're going here, we're going there. Let me see if I can find a coupon for that that would save us money. And it's sort of the savings mindset begins to leak in a good way into other areas of your life.
Carrie, thank you so much for taking your time to join us and letting us pick your brain on couponing tonight. We really appreciate your time. For those people out there, can you just recap what Pocket Your Dollars is all about and how it can help them?
Yeah, pocketyourdollars.com is a free, no registration required website that will help you to save money on everything in your life, from groceries to larger purchases like furniture and other things. So we really are providing real-time deals and tips and money-saving opportunities, as well as frugal living type advice to help you think about, how do I approach different purchases, or how do I approach like back-to-school shopping season? How do I save money on all these different things that are happening in my world?
Thanks again, Carrie. And thank you, everyone, for joining us at the Money Mastermind Show. Please make sure you check back at moneymastermindshow.com for our show notes and links to all the various items that we've mentioned here. And please make sure that you comment. And if you have any further questions, please let us know. We love reviews. So if you happen to be in iTunes and you should be subscribing, leave us a review. We'd love to hear it. So until next week, be good with your money. Good night.
Thanks for joining us on the Money Mastermind Show. Get more information at moneymastermindshow.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes and YouTube, and follow us on Google+.